This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. Untold numbers of children have read Mark Twain's Adventures of Tom Sawyer. It's quite possible you read this book in school and had to deliver a book report, then discussed its major themes. Themes that were on the cutting edge when it was published in 1876 and which remain sharply debated even today. One of the first recorded book reports on the adventures of Tom Sawyer was delivered by none other than Huckleberry Finn in the not-quite-sequel novel that made Mark Twain even more famous. As it happens, Huck Finn doesn't seem to think much about the adventures of Tom Sawyer. In that book's opening lines, Huckleberry tells the reader that the book, quote, was made by Mr. Mark Twain and that he told the truth, mainly. What is indisputably true about Mark Twain is that he was born Samuel Langhorne Clemens in the small town of Hannibal, Missouri, about 2 hours from St. Louis. Also true is that, this week, the town is celebrating the 150th anniversary of the publication of The Adventures of Tom Sawyer. And to talk about Hannibal, Mark Twain, and what it means for a single book to hold such sway for 150 years, we're joined by Mark Schneider, Development and Marketing Manager for the Mark Twain Boyhood Home and Museum. Mark, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm very happy to be here.
Now, before we dive in, I'd like to invite you to join our conversation about the adventures of Tom Sawyer. What sticks with you about this book? Did rereading it as an adult, if you did do so, change your perspective on its characters or the author? Give us a call at 314-382-8255. That's 314-382-TALK. So, Mark, let's talk about Mark Twain. He was born Samuel Langhorne Clemens in 1835 in Hannibal, Missouri, and he would later live in St. Louis and then travel across the world as Mark Twain. Tell us a bit, Mark, about his upbringing in Hannibal about 30 years before the Civil War.
Yeah, so Samuel Clemens was actually born in Florida, Missouri, which is about 45 minutes away from Hannibal in Monroe County, Missouri. There is still the birthplace shrine there in Florida, so you can actually go and see the cabin in which Samuel Clemens was born in. They moved to Hannibal when Samuel was about four. His father, John Clemens, was a man that really wanted to be a businessman. And so they moved to Hannibal with the hopes that Samuel's father would open up a dry goods store, a general store, and be successful in running that general store. And so Samuel lived in Hannibal from about the ages of 4 to 17 before he would leave to go work as a typesetter in newspapers all the way from St. Louis up to Keokuk, Iowa. And so he is a product of Missouri, and especially from that early to mid 1800s, and then obviously growing and learning throughout the late 1800s and the early 1900s. Mm-hmm. And so right here in your own backyard, you have the father of American literature that, cut his teeth, so to say, here in Northeast Missouri.
Mark, what are some of the details of Samuel Langhorne Clemens' childhood that ended up in his books?
If you read Mark Twain's works all the way from celebrated Jumping Frog of Calaveras County all the way through, he really does put a lot of personal experience into a lot of his writings. And The Adventures of Tom Sawyer is set in a fictional town called St. Petersburg. Mark Twain specifically came out and said that St. Petersburg, the inspiration for St. Petersburg, is Hannibal, Missouri. And then all of the characters in that town of St. Petersburg or Hannibal, Missouri, were all inspired by friends and children that he grew up with and the adventures that they have. So his influence and his experience here in Hannibal and in Missouri as a young person really influenced his work throughout his time as an author.
Mm-hmm. Now, I understand, Mark, that you have been working with the Mark Twain Boyhood Home and Museum for a little under a year and 4 months. As you have experienced that, I mean, have you picked up on some details that exist even now that do appear in Mark Twain's writings?
Yes. Yeah, so obviously, when he's talking about the adventures of Tom Sawyer, when you stand in Hannibal, Missouri, you can literally look up and see Cardiff Hill. When he talks about going up on the hill to go play Robin Hood and Knights in Shining Armor, you can literally look up and see the hill. You can look out onto the river, which is only 2 or 3 blocks away from his front door of his boyhood home, and you can see the island that he talks about going to with his friends for 3 days when they, when the people of the town believed them to be dead, that they had drowned in the river. And so that's how Tom and Huck came to attend their own funeral. Mm-hmm. So there's so many things here that obviously influenced him. Now, those are the physical things. Beyond that, his father was the justice of the peace in this area. So Samuel Clemens was able to see a lot of things up close and personal. He fell asleep in his father's office one night, late at night, after not getting home in time. He didn't want to suffer a beating from his father, so he went to his father's law office and fell asleep on the couch, only to wake up with the thought of a presence in the room to realize that there was a dead body on the floor. Samuel Clemens would often see these things and see that justice wasn't exactly what it was spelled out to be. Crimes against black people would go unpunished, like murder and things of that nature. And so he really did see a lot, even through his experiences, that stuck with him throughout the writings of these books.
Mm-hmm. And as you mentioned that, Mark, racism and slavery are clearly represented in the books Twain wrote and in Twain's other writings. How did those things present themselves in Hannibal of his childhood pre-Civil War?
Yeah, so he obviously he had grown up in, was born and grew up in a southern state. Even with its position in the country, Missouri was considered a southern state because Missouri was largely, and especially this area, was largely settled by people from southern states, Virginia, Alabama, Mississippi, things like that. They were coming to Missouri for land. They were pushing west, like a lot of people of the time. And so they came to Missouri for cheap land. And so they brought with them, when they moved to this area, when they started to settle this area, they brought with them antebellum culture. Mm-hmm. They also brought with them the institution of slavery. And so that's kind of how it made it to where it was in Missouri. Now, Missouri obviously being surrounded by bordering states that were considered, that are north, northern states, Illinois and Iowa. This was a very bad place to be during the Civil War. Missouri was a bloody, bloody state during the Civil War. And especially a place like Northeast Missouri, where you can literally look across the Mississippi and see Illinois. I mean, you had neighbors living next to each other that obviously found disagreements over a lot of things, but especially the topic of slavery. And even newspapers at the time would write of what they would call slave stampedes from Northeast Missouri, that several enslaved people from different families and different homes would kind of coordinate, and they would get across the Mississippi River into Illinois, start in Quincy, work through Mendon, Illinois, up through Chicago, and then disperse from there. And so it was very much a time of, you know, huge influence, where Samuel Clemens saw slavery very, very early on. He He often talked about later on in life that, you know, only a few blocks from his front door, he saw a group of black individuals, men and women, that were obviously enslaved. They were chained to each other, and they were literally waiting to be sold downriver. Mm-hmm. And he said that those are the saddest faces he had ever seen in his life. And so that obviously stuck with him as he started traveling the river, started traveling the United States, and then eventually started traveling the world. Mm-hmm. These are things that he kept with him.
And when we get to the adventures of Tom Sawyer, we're not seeing some of what you have described. The book is a book that was meant for younger readers, as I understand it. And it was 150 years ago tomorrow that this book was published, and that was on June 9th, 1876. Was the book an instant success on its release?
It was fairly successful. I wouldn't say it was a large commercial success upon its release. It really didn't become largely commercially successful until Huckleberry Finn was published almost 7 or 8 years later. And so, 9 years later, excuse me, he started writing Huckleberry Finn. He picked it up about 7 years after Tom Sawyer was published. So Tom Sawyer is kind of it's a bit of an outlier for Mark Twain, the book, as far as what he wrote. Mark Twain wrote for many different age groups. Pudd'nhead Wilson was written for young adults, teens, people in high school. Tom Sawyer was written for children, adolescents. It's the story of adolescence, and so that's why it's very relatable. He also wrote other books, you know, Innocents Abroad, Life on the Mississippi, Roughing It, Following the Equator. These are things that are meant for adults to read. Huck Finn was meant for young adults as well. You're looking at probably mid to late teens, early 20s. That's really what it's meant for. But he really wrote for a large audience. He wrote for everyone. Mark Twain was a humorist above all. Mark Twain saw the funny in life, and even difficult situations and things that he didn't think was right, he would often try to find the humor in it, not only to try to deal with it himself, but to also to draw attention to it, and so that people maybe would digest that in a different manner than if they were being told in a serious way. And so whereas The Adventures of Tom Sawyer removes a lot of his more satirical writing, his more kind of pointed making fun of that he would be very, very good at and would be known for throughout his life, he really backed that off and wrote really a story, a bunch of smaller short stories that he compiled from his childhood into essentially a cohesive story focusing on one main character in Tom Sawyer. And so it really was kind of a departure for him from his normal writings of the time. But it was meant for kids to read, kids to enjoy, and hopefully learn a little something. Mm-hmm.
That's a great place for us to take a quick break. We'll be back shortly to continue this conversation. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio.
Support comes from Gemma, architects, planners, and designers seeking to bring joy to their clients and communities. Details at gemastl.com.
Welcome back. I'm Eileen Cha. We've been talking today about Missouri native Mark Twain and his novel, The Adventures of Tom Sawyer. It was published 150 years ago this week in 1876. Twain's hometown of Hannibal, Missouri, is marking the anniversary with special events, and this week with free admission to the Mark Twain Boyhood Home and Museum. We're also taking your calls. What are your feelings about Mark Twain? If you visited his childhood home in Hannibal, Missouri, what did you take away from that experience? Give us a call at 314-382-8255. That's 314-382-TALK. Now, Mark, before the break, we had talked a bit about Huckleberry Finn, and that is the book of his adventures that came out after Tom Sawyer's, and Huckleberry Finn was received with great acclaim. You don't consider it a sequel. Can you put a finer point on why that's the case?
Whereas it does refer to Tom Sawyer and those things, Tom Sawyer was narrated by Mark Twain. So the book, The Adventures of Tom Sawyer, was written in proper English. It was narrated as such. It was narrated from a different point of view. And when you get into Huck Finn, one of the very first things that is said, as a matter of fact, it's the first thing that's written down as The Adventures of Huck Finn, is, "You might not heard about me having you lesson you read the book The Adventures of Tom Sawyer, written by a man named Mark Twain. He told the truth mainly." He stretched it some, but he told the truth mainly. So those might not be the exact words, but it's pretty close. So he introduces himself right off the bat as the person that's going to narrate this story. That story was written in the vernacular, the common dialect. This was the way people spoke in Hannibal, Missouri, during Mark Twain's childhood, during Samuel Clemens' childhood. So he really is addressing, in a different way, right off the bat, this story of a boy that, I don't like using the word redemption in this cause, but he is fighting for that realization of what's good, what's bad, how are my actions reflective of who I am and what I believe. And so it really was a change of pace from The Adventures of Tom Sawyer. Now, technically, if you want to consider it a sequel, that's fine. But for instance, there is reference to a boy named Jim in The Adventures of Tom Sawyer. That is not the same character that is referenced to as Jim in Huckleberry Finn. Mm. Jim, obviously, in Huckleberry Finn is a grown man, whereas Jim in The Adventures of Tom Sawyer was an enslaved boy that lived in town. It's not a sequel, but it also doesn't follow the same storyline and things of that nature. As a matter of fact, after starting in St. Petersburg, it obviously progresses very quick to different lands and different areas and stuff. Mm-hmm. And so I would say if you're really looking for that true sequel, you would go to Tom Sawyer Detective or Tom Sawyer Abroad. Mm-hmm. And those things are addressing the main character of Tom Sawyer and his growth as a person and what he did as an adult. So those are some of the differences.
Right. There's a point that you had made about good and bad, and I think that is a great segue to talking about language. And for as long as The Adventures of Tom Sawyer has been in print, people have debated the terms used for its Black and Native American characters, talking specifically about the N-word and a word that sounds like Indian. Now, the use of these words was controversial even in Mark Twain's time. How did he explain their employment, their use?
Well, Tom Sawyer was written about a time period 30 to 40 years before the Civil War. It was published 11 years after the Civil War during America's centennial. So it's an interesting time period where he's writing about a divided nation. It's published during a time of reunification that was still very, very iffy. And so to describe the life of a Southern boy in a Southern state at that time was I mean, he was going out on a limb to do so. And again, it wasn't initially a huge commercial success, although he obviously sold copies. I would say that he used those words for a desired effect. Mark Twain was all about image. He was a highly polished image, the white suit, the cigar, all of these things were an image that he, I mean, the fact that he used the name Mark Twain, these are all very conscious decisions by him for his public image. And so he was a very well thought out person. And so in these stories, when he uses racial slurs, he's using them for a reason. It's quoted by quite a few Twain scholars and quite a few people that like Twain, that nobody else could have written these stories the way that he did. It takes a Southern perspective to be able to write the way that he writes, and especially a Southern perspective that then went on to learn and travel the world, in which Mark Twain would say that travel eliminates all bigotry and racism after you've gotten out there. So it really is, he used those slurs on purpose. The reason that he used those slurs is, one, to make sure that you understand the setting of the story and where they are and the time that they are in, and two, to make sure to get your attention. It was on purpose. It wasn't just writing down a word that was commonly used. This is something that he did on purpose so that it would accomplish several things. One, he wanted people to talk about these books when they were done reading them. He wanted to keep something in your mind about what have you read and how do you feel. He didn't try to make you feel any other way than what you wanted to feel about those things. And so those were things that he really, he knew what he was doing using those words, and he made sure to use those words on purpose. Mm-hmm. We don't have a use for those words on our campus now around here. You won't find many of those words. You won't find them across our signage and things of that nature, because it's not our purpose for using those words. We don't have those purposes now in our setting, but as part of our mission to promote awareness and appreciation of his life and works, and to demonstrate the relevance of his stories and ideas, you know, we do feel it's important that it is seen that these words were used on purpose to elicit reaction and discussion, and honestly, to sell books.
Yeah.
I mean, it really was the main goal.
And on that note about excitement and the books, tomorrow is the 150th anniversary of The Adventures of Tom Sawyer, and commemoration has already begun in Hannibal. Is the level of excitement there very high?
The level of excitement's really high around here. As a matter of fact, on Saturday, we had a drone show that our Hannibal Convention and Visitors Bureau put on. It was fantastic. Images of Tom and Huck and Jim and Becky and Mark Twain and things in the sky. It was fantastic. Several roars from the crowd came up as certain things popped up. And then this week here on our campus, on our 8 historical buildings, we're allowing free admission for everyone that wants to come and experience what Mark Twain experienced. And that really is the excitement that's built around Hannibal, is that this is where that line of fiction and reality is blurred. This is where these stories come from. This is not where he sat in a bed and wrote. This is not where he entertained guests as an adult. This is where he had these experiences as a child. This is where you can literally stand somewhere and go, when he's talking about sneaking down the alley, that's the alley he's talking about. And so we have this wonderful mix of fiction and reality that really allow you to experience these stories the way that they were meant to be experienced and the way that he experienced them. And so, yes, the The excitement is palpable, and we already have many, many guests touring the campus today, taking advantage of the free admission and really trying to learn more about the history of Mark Twain, his works, Hannibal, and Northeast Missouri as a whole.
Mm-hmm. And as we close here, Mark, this anniversary of the publication of The Adventures of Tom Sawyer, it comes at the same time that people in the U.S. are observing another milestone, and that's the 250th birthday of the country. Mark Twain is arguably the most famous American author ever. What connections do you see, you know, considering these two anniversaries?
He is the father of American literature. Hemingway said that when Huck Finn came out, with Huck Finn narrating and using the vernacular and the common dialect, that was the start of American literature. And so you're going to see a lot of things that you can compare to his works and the progression of our country. Our country is only 250 years old. It's not that old when you're talking about a nation. And so if you think about, the book was released during the centennial celebration 150 years ago. That was very much the adolescence period of the United States. And The Adventures of Tom Sawyer is the story of adolescence, about going on adventures. It's about realizing who your friends are and kind of discovering new things that you're interested in, and really trying to grow up and realize, do I need to turn into something else beyond just a boy and causing mischief, but maybe I can do something for the better of the town, which is really how it ends up in the end, is that Tom and Huck become the heroes of the town. And so it really does kind of spell out this, a lot of similarities to the progression of our country. It's been relevant for 150 years. It's never been out of print, and people still pick it up across the country, whether it's a child or an adult today, to read it. I think that everyone can relate to the childhood adventures of going out with friends and playing games and going around and causing a little bit of mischief and being curious about what's behind that next door and things like that. And those are all themes that are addressed in Tom Sawyer. So it's still relevant because people can still relate to those experiences. Mm-hmm. And it reminds you of your own childhood and what you did and all the adventures that you had and the friends that you had.
Yes, it does.
The people that turned into characters literally in front of your eyes, those are the things that you're going to remember when you read The Adventures of Tom Sawyer.
Mark Schneider is the manager of development and marketing at the Mark Twain Boyhood Home and Museum. Mark, thank you so much for joining us today, and best of luck with all of these celebratory events.
I really appreciate you giving us the time to talk about the amazing history of Missouri.
This episode was produced by Danny Wisentowski.
Audio engineering and podcast design by Aaron Dorr.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thank you.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis.